Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, you ready, Freddy?
Yep, I'm ready.
I'm ready. I've been waiting a long time to play this because these were the very first episodes of my show that I ever produced because it was so special for me to capture the stories of my grandfather, Edmund Hammett, and I've been waiting for the right time to share them with you. He was born in Brooklyn in 1924. The son of German immigrants who, like many others, came to this country by the way of Ellis Island. I treasure the stories he's told us about his time as an orphan in the Bronx and the time he spent serving his country in World War II. I'm not only sharing these stories on the Lead Me Life cast because they're special to me, but I believe they're at the very heart of this show. They're about a child longing to be led, a woman who feels alone, a young man trying to find where he belongs, running from realities that are difficult to embrace, dreaming of the future, but coming to find that it wasn't all he had hoped for, but better. It's the story of a ragamuffin soul finding his way home. So stay tuned. This is the Lead Me Lifecast.
I was born in 1924, born in Brooklyn, and my mother and father came over from Hamburg. Apparently, they got divorced very young. And my brother and I ended up in an orphanage called the Wartburg. And I have no idea how old I was when I entered the Wartburg. But the sad part about it is my brother and I, even though we were in the orphanage, we weren't even together. He was in one area, a cottage, and I was in the main building, which was up on a hill. I do remember they gave us some sleds to go down the hill. So I do remember that much of my recreation time in the Wartburg. Most of the time they kept us busy working. We were either cleaning windows, scrubbing floors, or waxing floors. But back in my day, when in the dormitories, they put the beds all down at one end of the room, and then we'd start out with buckets and brushes. We didn't have the utilities you got today. And every time a bed would go by, we'd have to lay flat on the floor. And then we'd end up with paste wax. And we'd have to apply the wax by hand. One thing about the orphanage that I didn't understand, we didn't get out and have any recreation at all. We didn't have any basketball. We didn't have any softball. We didn't get into sports. The whole duration in the orphanage was strictly work. We had to make our own beds. When we went in the dining room, whatever was put on your plate, we had to eat. And if you didn't finish it, you'd sit there until it was finished, whether it was 3 hours, 4 hours, or 8 hours. We sat on old wooden benches. We didn't have chairs. And so I'd end up, things I didn't like, there was only two things I didn't like, was squash and liver. I would end up putting it in my pocket so I could be dismissed from the table. And then, of course, I'd go into the washroom and throw the food in my pocket into the toilet, and then I would wash the pocket out in the washroom. I used to go into the, I guess you'd call it a pantry, but they would have 15 cans of peanut butter. And I used to put it in my pocket and then go back up to my bunk room or up to the dormitory, eat my peanut butter in the bed. And then, of course, same old story. Following day, I would go into the washroom and wash my pockets out, which was pretty hard to do with the peanut butter. Anyway, my mother, she was a nanny for a living. Anyway, she managed to make enough money that she bought furniture and an apartment in Brooklyn and took us out of the orphanage. I don't remember living with my brother at all. Like I say, for two brothers, we sure didn't have a life together like a normal family. I know I didn't live with my mother too long, and she went into the hospital and she passed away, and that was in 1937. I remember that, the year. I didn't ever go to the funeral home. I never went to the cemetery. But to my knowledge, she was buried in the Woodlawn Cemetery in Brooklyn. and I never had the opportunity to go out there to see the plot. There was a Catholic woman next door in the apartment. Her name was Mrs. Billington. She took me in to take care of me. I really enjoyed the time I was with Mrs. Billington. I have to tell you, when my mother took me in and she passed away, Mrs. Billington says, there's a man downstairs with a furniture truck taking all the furniture out of your mom's apartment. You know, I asked him, I said, well, who are you? He says, I'm your dad. And I said, well, what are you doing taking the furniture? He says, well, I got the jurisdiction over you. So he says, I'm taking all the furniture and I'm going to move it up to my place. That was the first time I ever met my dad. I never seen him, but I don't remember him when I was young. Children's Aid Society took me out of the home of Mrs. Billington, and I went back into a farm school. I understand from my brother that he went through some of these farm schools, but they taught him how to collect eggs and cows. But my experience in the farm school was strictly hoeing for weeds. So there again, it's the same old story. It was nothing but work. We had no time for recreation. My brother drove into the farm school I was in, and he had a big boxy automobile. I had no idea what make it was. It had velvet cushioned seats. I do remember that. And my brother put me in the back of the car and put me on the floor so when he drove through the gate, they wouldn't see me on the floor. So I wasn't in that farm school very long. Of course, they finally caught up with my brother, and my brother had a place to live, some house out in the farmland someplace. That's where he housed me until they caught up with him and called me back to the Children's Aid Society. So we stayed there until we reassigned us to another orphanage or farm school. I do remember the second farm school they sent me to was called Harriman Farm School.
My grandfather said Harriman Farm School wasn't any better than any other orphanage he had been in. Just work, 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 all the time. Well, with the exception of the spanking machine, which I'll get to in just a minute. Thanks again for listening to part one of three of special episodes of the Lead Me Lifecast with my grandfather, Edmund Hammett. Again, they're the very first episodes of this show that I ever produced, and I've been waiting for the right time to share them with you. You've already noticed that the music and the format is a little different because I felt it was right to leave them the way that they were months ago when I first produced these episodes. Before I get back to more stories with my grandfather, I just want to remind you that I'm out on the road right now on my final tour with Sanctus Real, the Farewell to a Friend tour. So go to sanctusreal.com and check out the tour dates and see if you can come out and see me somewhere near you. Also, don't forget, I just booked the Crazy Faith Christmas tour with my friend John Waller in the Northeast. So go to thelighthouseevents.com to get your tickets. And now, a little more about the spanking machine with my grandfather, Edmund Hammett.
At the Harriman Farm School, we learned not to snitch on each other. If any of us got out of order, they'd march us all down into the basement to get spanked. And believe it or not, they actually had a spanking machine. It was a paddle, and you bend over, and of course the paddle would go back and forth. And I guess you can actually adjust it so, you know, it could spank the individual harder or softer. Once in a while, the house father would use his cane. We'd rather have the spanking machine because it wasn't as severe as his cane. One day, I snuck down the basement and I got a screwdriver and I dismantled the spanking machine the best as I could. So I wasn't mechanical inclined in that day, but I managed to accomplish what I was trying to do. One time the house father took us down there and to get a spanking and found out that the machine didn't work because he had no idea why any individual was responsible for it. So anyway, he used his cane on us, which, like I say, was much more severe. Anyway, I finally ran away from Harriman Farm School, and it was quite a distance. I would hitchhike till I got into New York. Anyway, my brother checked all the different orphanages and the farm schools, plus the Wartburg, and they don't exist today. The only place that exists that I do remember was the Gould Foundation, which I really enjoyed. We got new clothes and new shoes and really enjoyed the meals. We had nice bedding. The facilities were just up to par compared to these other orphanages, and they didn't keep me very long there. I always remember the Children's Aid Society because I had a counselor, and I'll never forget her name. Her name was Mrs. Ratner. She would get me in a little cube, and seemed like it was an 8x8 cube, and had a pool light chain light in the middle of it, and a table and two chairs. And she said, "Edmund, we're going to put you in a place where you won't be able to run away." And it was supposed to be a reformatory for bad boys. And when I did run away, I lived on the subways. They had three subway lines in New York. One was the IRT and the BMT and the 8th Avenue. And you had to make sure that you didn't ride the subway to the end of the line because they had what we call them railroad dicks. If they seen you on the subway at the end of the line, they'd figure something suspicious of why he didn't get off at a particular station. We learned that when we got on Broadway and 42nd Street, that you could go down various steps to different platforms and get onto a different subway, either the IRT or the BMT, and that way the railroad tracks couldn't catch you. Then they would catch up with you in due time, then go back to the Children's Aid Society again.
You'll hear more from my grandfather, Edmund Hammett, on the next Leave Me podcast.
I remember the clicking of the wheels on the gaps in the track. They were going clunk, 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 clunk. My little brain says, jump, jump, every time I heard the clunk, clunk. I remember as a child when the Hindenburg used to fly over New York City, he used to fly pretty low. I always wanted to see it land at Lakehurst. It was hard to see people jumping out of the gondola and so forth.
And that's next week on the Lead Me Lifecast. And don't forget to go to matthammettmusic.com, subscribe to my newsletter, buy your tickets for the Lead Me Live events, and check out the Patreon page while you're there. If you could do one thing to join me this week, just tell your friends about the show. Word of mouth is so powerful. So just tell people you like what you're hearing on the Lead Me Lifecast. Don't forget to give me a big thumbs up on the Matt Hammett Facebook page. Also, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @MattHammett. All right, have a great week.